get the earplugs? From the Ohio State University, and welcome to Canvas again. So when visualization viewers, they started their data, usually have more than, usually will have a special interest in a subset of the data items. And when we use query, usually we'll get more than one focus, which are the multiple foci. So revealing a greater level of the details of the foci could be a very important task. And so in this paper, we'll study the methods for multiple foci in the context of tree map. To display the foci, we can give a separate view, such as a view of the text list, or a view visually, but consists only the foci. And we can also, but they will lose the context. And we can use the pan and zoom, although we have some context, but usually it only supports one focus. So we propose the fisheye method, in which you can zoom in multiple foci. And we'll discuss the features that we can achieve. So previously, Kihei and Shi have studied the problem of a seamless focus and context techniques on tree maps. Kihei used the tree map as an example to show how to compound zooming with a graphical fisheye. And basically, they used the tree map as an image. So they didn't consider the algorithm effectiveness, such as the maximum zoom factors for tree map. And Shi's work focused on browsing in a tree map. So basically, it's single focus, and it's not very straightforward to extend their work to the multiple foci. So in the rest of the talk, I'll start with analyzing the desirable features that we want to provide for the tree map. And then FG analysis will describe Bloom Focus, which is designed to offer the desired features. And then we'll discuss case study and user study. So here are the features. First, we want to preserve the most prominent features of the tree map, which are the space filling property of the tree map and the items rectangle shapes. So usually tree map use the rectangle items to show the detail. And we don't want to create overlaps or holes in the tree map. We don't want to distort the items into other shapes than the rectangles, because that would make the AL comparison even harder, and some content, such as the photos, may be distorted awfully. The second one is to apply the same scaling to all foci. So if we use different scaling to the foci, the viewers may get misled. For example, they may associate the factor to some like assumed attributes, which we doesn't encode. And they may get the wrong results of every comparison also. The third one is to be layout algorithm independent. We may use a few types of algorithm for your data, but a method which could support all the tree maps from any layout algorithm would be more useful. For the sake of visual consistency and layout stability, we have the feature to preserve positional dependency between the items. So if we fail to provide the dependency, then our memory map would be lost. The next one is to maximize full size possible zoom factors. So we would like a larger zoom factor because it could give a larger level of details. The last one, but not least, is to scale down non-focused item evenly. So conceptually, we should treat every non-focused item equally and visually. This could be more pleasing. So in conclusion, we want all the six features are all desired, but sometimes we have to make some trade-off. For example, a stricter dependency may result in small maximum zoom factors. So sometimes we have to define a relatively loose dependency to allow a relatively large maximum zoom factors. This is the visual effects we want to achieve. The foci are enlarged smoothly in the context. We can compare this with CSA. CSA is a method which enlarges the foci by changing the underlying values of the case attributes, size attribute, and the transformation could be very unstable, for example, because it doesn't consider dependency. Alright. Taking all the features as requirements, we designed the Bloom Focus. Here's an overview. First, we'll define the dependency. The one we designed is called region dependency, and later we convert the dependency into a graph, which describes all the information from the dependency, and then we devise an elastic model to the graph. So giving a zoom factor, the model could determine the coordinates of every graph node so that we can know the the layouts of the transformed tree map. So for the position dependency, intuitively it's the constraints of keeping the relatively positions. We can describe as which object is under left or right side of which object, and which one is above or below which one. So strictly, we can use the boundaries coordinates to define the dependency, such as in this tree map, we have three foci, and the edges are A, B, C, D, and E, F. If we order them totally, we'll get A, C, B, E, D, F in the order, from the smallest to largest. And if we want to keep this total order, this is the maximum zoom factors we can get when B's coordinate is equal to E's coordinate. So if you think the zoom factor is not large enough because we still have a lot of empty space to assign to the foci, so we ask ourselves the question, do we have to preserve the dependency between every pair of items in the tree map? And our answer is no. We have said the following observations. The first one is neighborship is the most important relationship. So if all the position relationship between any pair of neighboring items can be preserved, the transformation would be smooth. And also we observe that because we may put more attention to the foci. So the so for some foci, if they are close by, but they are not really neighbors, literally, we still consider them as neighbors, and we want to preserve the dependency between the close by foci. So in conclusion, we don't have to keep every pair of items dependency. We keep a subset of them so that we get a looser dependency, but the visual effects is still good enough. To introduce region dependency, which we defined, we have to introduce some elements. First, the focus edges. Focus edges are the yellow lines in the figure. They are the boundaries of the focus items. And if we extend them linearly, we'll get the focus lines. And here are the focus lines, vertical focus lines, and here are the horizontal focus lines. No focus lines will go through a foci, a focus. And all the lines together will divide the tree map into a number of rectangles. We call them enclosures because they are enclosed by the focus lines. Each focus line is identified by the left, right, top, and bottom focus lines, but not by the coordinates. So the foci themselves are enclosures, and those green boxes are the rest enclosures in this tree map. All the enclosures together comprise the enclosure set. So the definition of region dependency is the enclosure set of the transformed tree map is equal to the enclosure set of the original tree map. This dependency could provide the property that or the or the positional relation is preserved for any two neighboring enclosures, which means any two neighboring items and also the close by foci. And we extract the information to a graph to represent the dependency. So the graph nodes are the focus lines in the from the tree map, and so we have two graphs. One is for the vertical lines, one is for the horizontal lines, and the edges represent the enclosures. These three gray edges represent the foci, and the list of green enclosures is represented by a single edge because we don't want redundant edges in the graph. Similarly, we got the rest edges for all the enclosures. Because the neighboring relationship between the foci, the existence of them indicates the invisible enclosure, so we have to add another edge to represent it. And similarly, we can get the other graph. So as long as we can preserve the graph topology, we can preserve the region dependency. The previous definition is based on the one-level tree map, but it's straightforward to extend that to the multiple level tree map. We know that multiple tree map, level tree map, is the nesting of a number of single level tree maps. So after we design the foci, we just map them to the one-level tree maps, and we generate the graphs for each one-level tree maps. Finally, we link them together. The linking edges represent the borders in the tree map, which is between the neighboring levels. By using region dependency, we have provided four features, and the elastic model, which we are discussing now, will provide the rest two, which are applying the applying the same scaling factor to all foci and scaling down the non-focus items evenly. So we imagine the graph as a spring system. The two ends are fixed by the pins, so the total length won't change. And we consider the focus edges are sticks. They are rigid, and the rest edges are elastic, modeled by the springs. So when we are enlarging the foci, the length of the sticks will grow, and they will push, squeeze the springs around them. So what we want to know is the coordinates of every node in the graph in a stable state. This model has its physical model. We know that in a stable state, all the forces applied to one node is zero. And we also know for springs, ideally their length change is abides to Hooke's law. We formalize this system with linear equations. For the first for the two ending nodes, we know their coordinates. For the other nodes, we know the force is equal to zero. And for the rigid edges, we know their lengths if we know the zooming factor. And for the rest elastic edges, we know the Hooke's law unless the lengths become zero. So sometimes we have to study how to find the condition switch. So the number of variables and equations are both the number of nodes and edges in the graph. In the case study, we build the NBA tree map. The hierarchy is formed by game seasons, players, teams, and players. The color represent the levels in the hierarchy. And the size attributes are the minutes per game for one athlete. This tree map is laid out by verified tree map. You can see this is a pretty dense one. The color for the color encoding, we encode four attributes, and they are the sum of the samples. The most important one might be the points per game. And here's the mapping from the value to the colors. So for these three attributes, greener means better, and For the last one, red means maybe bad because there it means more false. I want to show the interactive demo. So I want to find the players whose name is Tracy. We got more than like 5 foci, and they are very small to see. So we enlarge them. Now we can see their names. Actually, there are 2, Tracy, McGrady, and Murray. And from their color attributes, we can see McGrady performs better. And from this context, we know they have some history of team transform. For example, for McGrady, he transferred from Magic to Rockets after 2003. And Murray transferred teams time by time, from Reaper to Lakers, and then to Blazers, and then disappeared. And we have another query, which is to find all the athletes who worked for Rockets in the 2002 season. Basically, we can use that to see some personnel changes. This is the 2002 season, and this is the 2004. We can see that like only 2 players stay in the same team, and all the others are transformed or left. And by mapping the names of the players, we can see their performance change. The last part is the user study. We compared Bloom Focus with 3 other methods. First was no focus enlargement, and with single focus enlargement and CSA. CSA is the method we mentioned before. We have 12 subjects. We gave them tutorial and the trial tasks. After the task performing, we asked them to take a brief satisfaction survey. So in the first session, we compare Bloom Focus with no foci enlargement, and we want to see whether users prefer to use enlargement and whether it helps. And from the time, we didn't find a significant difference by novel, but for the correctness, we find 1, and it's 84% compared with 50%. So our hypothesis has been confirmed. In second session, we compare Bloom Focus with single focus enlargement, and the full Bloom Focus can our hypothesis is that Bloom Focus can reduce the performing time and single focus correctness than single focus enlargement. And these are the data. The difference is pretty obvious, and ANOVA confirmed the significant difference. And in the third session, we compare Bloom Focus with CSA. Basically, it's to study the user's preference for stability. And because users will make sure that they find the right answers, we only compare the time. We find a significant difference, that is, and the mean is 19 seconds compared with 39 seconds. And the last part is the satisfaction survey, and we find that users unanimously agree with the usefulness of foci, and they strongly value the smoothness of layout changes. So in conclusion, we propose Bloom Focus is a seamless focus and context techniques on tree maps supporting multiple foci, and our user study confirmed the usefulness, efficiency, and visually comfortness of Bloom Focus. There are a few directions for future research. First, we'll tune the Elastic model and consider users' preference. And we'll also try to relax the dependency to get a better zoom-in factor. And we'll try to study the constraint-based layouts on other visualizations, such as node and link styled tree and graph visualization. We have a hands-on demo on the Wednesday night at Ohio State University. So bring your interest and let's bloom the focus together.